Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. And I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, and however you may be accessing this great program from tonight. If you're at home or on the road, at work, wherever you are. I'm so grateful to God that you could join us tonight. Yeah. I just know that you just have your receiver on. The Lord will give you what you're asking him for tonight. Amen. Now, it's always my joy to bring you this program. It always is. I always do it from the home of America's Favorite Fries, also known as McDonald's. By the way, tonight, as usual, I am at the McDonald's of 1711 South Saginaw here in Midland, across the street from a Kmart. I'm northwest of an Admiral gas station, southeast of a Disability Network of Michigan office and Habitat for Humanity Restore. But we're in the front of, near the front of McDonald's, and right now, I don't know if you can tell or not. The reason to you listeners that it might sound so quiet is because right now it is. There is very few people in here tonight. I don't know why. That's a beautiful summer night, albeit a little bit cooler than I would have liked. By the way, we've got to get some more 80s coming in here. We're going to be in the blue for the month if it don't change. Because when they talk about being in the red or being in the black, that's more like finances and that. But when it comes to the weather and the temperatures, there's the red and the blue. And to be the red meaning warmer. To be honest with you, I'd rather be in the bright red. I know, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because not one of those pinkish kind, not one of those, like, I don't know, like kind of grayish kind, which would mean that it rained a lot if it meant something. I'd rather be like bright red.
You know me, I'd rather have it in the 90s.
Yep. Sorry about that, listeners. That means nothing for me. A kid has just made a choice to push the button on the exit door.
Oh, is that what that is? The emergency?
Yes. I thought that when I was little, one time I thought you could open that door. And I found out you could not.
Oh, man.
And it was loud, and I learned my lesson. Hopefully a worker will get to that very soon so that you folks do not hear that. Wait a minute. I'd rather just make sure that it's that. because, are you sure that's all it is and it's not the real fire alarm?
It's not the real fire alarm. Trust me, it'd be a lot more chaos going on.
That was the why is that a why would that be a different alarm than the fire alarm? Or is it that way at all the emergency exits that have them?
I really don't know. Good question.
I feel like at some emergency exits they're hooked up to the fire alarm.
Yeah, but it's good to know the difference because
yeah.
You know what I'm saying. People might be freaking out if it's the same.
Because if it's the, I'm not about to open one to find out.
Right.
And when it says alarm will sound, I always assume that if I set that off, that it's like me pulling the fire alarm. But when in reality, it's different. All right, now that we got that fixed, we're moving back over. But like I would say, but yes, I would rather have it in the 80s and 90s, more like it's 1999, because that was a pretty hot summer. Would have been even hotter if it wasn't for some of those cooler days and nights that were spread out throughout it, and if it wasn't for the cooler August, because July had 90s at the start of it, mid to high 90s at the end of it, and then kind of cooler in the middle, remember? And then I looked at some other cities down 75, because for whatever reason, my favorite things to compare it to are cities like straight down 75. But I can recall, for example, I didn't know it then. I found out like a couple of years ago. That, like, for example, as I like to call it, as I would call it, Hot Friday, 7:30 of 99, I can recall being here, and it was a pretty hot day. I was with a summer class group, and then I came back to the community center on a bus afterwards. I can recall going by the pool. And it sounded like there was a lot of good stuff going on. Were you there on one of those hot days back then? Do you feel like it might have been that Hot Friday, or was it something else? Do you feel like you might have been there on Hot Friday?
Probably.
$7.30.99. It seemed like there was a lot, but this was like at 4 o'clock, mind you. Do you feel like it just sounded like there was a lot, but really there probably wasn't any more than 60 or 70?
Oh, I don't remember.
Do you think there was 200, or do you doubt it?
I mean, it's possible.
Do you feel like at least one of those days there it was super packed and you couldn't remember why?
I feel like there was always one day.
The time that you're thinking of that it was like... What's the most you saw in the summer with no camp, like 120?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because of heat or what?
Yeah.
You were never there in like 95, though, were you?
I might have been.
But that was two summers after that pool opened. And remember I told you yesterday about that super high heat indice day?
Mm-hmm.
What do you bet the peak attendance was that day at a certain – do you bet it was 185, do you bet, minus – would you say 225 in case there was a camp?
Yeah.
Or would you say 235?
225.
And of course, those were the days where no one did buddy checks.
Yeah.
Oh man, if I was a counselor, I'd want those back. Even if I was little back then, I knew how old 20 years ago was, I'd be like, just bring that back. That's when I wish, like, can we have that time machine, you know?
Yeah, trust me, I wish that.
Because, and all those days at Adventure Camp that I had to swim in the East Pool, I wish they could have been in the Leisure Pool instead. I know, right?
Yeah.
Because because even to you, that when you were that age, did that pool, for whatever reason, seem like just a magical place, like where anything could happen, and sometimes when you hear that certain songs turn out the speakers, did it almost, or was it more so the commercials that it would sound like it was saying, everybody get out of the water, everybody get out? There was some of those commercials and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it could have sounded like something like that, you know?
Yeah.
even though you knew
it
was
good. Some people just said it to scare people, and it was hilarious. Everybody would run.
What, when they would hear certain songs, and people would actually get out of the water when they heard certain noises? Because it actually sounded like the word get out of the water was coming from the speakers.
Yeah.
which is so fun. They could have done that out of my way. So I don't know. and they could have interpreted it as get out of the water right now, you know? like after three trials of, it'd be like after three failed whistleblowers of like, we need you to get out right now, you know? But anyhow, Blizzard Day. Was that other Blizzard yours or was that JB's?
That was JB's. I wish I could have made that. I wanted to, but I didn't, and I stayed strong.
That brand of yours was saying, give me a Blizzard, give me a Blizzard. Kind of like I'm on all mics, and I was like, give me a give me a Blizzard. Oh, yep, because, listeners, you probably know this. Your mind knows. When you want a sweet item or you want those fries. And sometimes it might do that silly high voice thing. Sometimes in your mind it almost sounds like a march, like you're marching to get a donut or whatever, you know. And it knows.
Or the hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Where's the donut? Where's my ice cream? I say, you know. But I had that chocolate and peanut butter lovers ice cream, and it was delicious. It had chunks of chocolate in it and little chunks of peanut butter in it too. It was really good. Was it the best Blizzard I've had? I don't know, but it was a really good one. And I know good ice cream when I see it. I might still like the cheesecake ones better because...
That's what I used to get when I was little. I always want cheesecake.
Because everybody needs some cheesecake in their life.
They really do.
Everybody, male, female, doesn't matter. Cheesecake does not discriminate. It wants everybody. It wants, you know, and it wants all of your taste buds. Doesn't want you, it just wants all your taste buds.
Yep.
Because it wants you to devour it. It doesn't matter if it's on a donut. It doesn't matter if it's by itself. It doesn't matter if it's an ice cream. Some of those wannabe strawberry cheesecake ice creams, though, you can't even taste the cheesecake. Throw it in the garbage. You've had some of those strawberry cheesecake ones, haven't you?
I haven't had it in years because I'm vegan, but when I always did used to get it, I never had a bad experience.
I'm just meaning one like that where you couldn't taste the cheesecake much.
As much as the others? Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Those ones I'd be like, because like I said, the cheesecake wants your attention. Mm-hmm. And I want to find out, what's this roadblock in here? And... You know, when I think about that cheesecake ice cream, listeners, like that cheesecake wants you, and you want to taste it. And when I think about that cheesecake ice cream, you know, or something like that, or anything like that, I think of God wants us to want Him. He wants us to want. He wants us to want to spend time with Him. He wants us to want to pray to Him. He doesn't want us to just think, oh, it's just a chore. It's just
she says nothing, right?
I know. That's just the way to think about it, because I was thinking about that, and I was like, that's why I kind of paused for a second, listeners. And it's crazy sometimes what it takes to teach you something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, he wants you to want all of it. All of them, not just the good stuff, or with the ice cream. It doesn't just want you to find the little bites of cheesecake that are in there, and then throw away the rest. What if you did that to God? I don't think God would like that too much. If you threw away, forget the I don't think, he wouldn't. And it's like, I believe the whole word of God. I refuse to water it down to fit demands of people in this generation that want the word watered down. And I refuse to give in to that. Flavors of the world. Oh, no. First of all, Father's Day. Father's Day is this coming Sunday, which is June 16th. And with that in mind, tomorrow night I'm going to take some time to talk about the Heavenly Father.
What? Yeah, I don't know. I think I got
hurt. Listeners, for many years of my life, for approximately 13 years of my life, I was believing God for a dad. I never met my original biological father.
We got our
first. Hi, Dad. Hello? Dad? Hello?
Working?
No. Sorry. But, listeners, as I was trying to explain to you a second ago, though, I spent 13 years believing God for a day. Because I never met my original biological dad. I never met him once. And then my mom married a man when I was like one, almost two. They were married for like a couple of years. And then some things happened. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but about 13 and a half years ago, my mom met this beautiful man, this handsome man, whom I now call my father. And he means a lot to me. I prayed him in. I prayed God would give me and my brother both. We used to pray that God would give us a dad. He provided. because we kept seeking God all the time. Me and my brother both. Me and my mom. We knew it was the will of God. We did. And I know what having one's like. I know what not having one's like. I'd rather have one. Yeah. It is up to the Father, the natural Father. It is up to the natural Father to be the leader of his house. Spiritual, to be spiritually, to be the biggest breadwinner or worker, like the one who makes the most money. The dad has a certain role, as does the mom. And by the way, Father, your role to these sons is not to just to take them hunting and fishing into the ballgame. And the role of a dad for you daughters is not just for him to take you when you're little to that daddy-daughter date dance thing. You've heard of those, by the way, and you haven't yet?
Yeah.
All of you fathers who are listening, it is your job to be the spiritual leader of that house. Yes, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, mom and dad. If you obey your parents, you will have a good life and a long life. If you refuse to obey your parents, you will live a short, you will have a short life and a miserable life. You choose. But when you disobey, you suffer the consequences. And by the way, down the road, those consequences are more than those consequences are more than you won't be going to McDonald's. A lot more. I'm not just talking about stuffy parents. I'm talking about people who are disobedient to their parents tend to get in more trouble with the law. They don't learn then. Somehow that they die younger. And we can just go down a real bumpy road. And a great way to fix that is children, obey your parents. It's not just Christians who believe that fathers help hold the fort down. It is a known fact. There are studies that show that it's a lot better, kids are a lot better off when they're in a two-parent home. You know, especially when both parents care. They tend to be way better off. I mean, yeah. And I like how daddies, how fathers are now more involved in what they've been now mom, now dads are starting to do some of the dirty work and change the kids' diapers and take them to school. And that's all good. It's time for our fathers to step up and be spiritual leaders of the home. No, listeners, I'm not chewing you out. Not chewing you out. No. Challenge you. Step it up. Be the spiritual leader of that house. To those children, to that wife. And I think not just spiritually. My dad, the man who I proudly called my dad, he's taken my family to some great places since my mom and him married. And it's been awesome. And Dad, I know you're listening right now. And I know you tried to call me. I'm sorry that I couldn't hear you. You know, technical difficulties happen. But I want to say, Dad, you are very precious to me. I'm so glad to have you as a part of my life. I'm so grateful to be your son. I'm so grateful that God chose you to be my father. And I've been very humbled. And I thank you so much for everything you've done for me and everything you mean to me. Now, listeners, I want to encourage you. Your dad, you know, call your dad. Spend time with, if you can't spend time with your dad on Father's Day or this weekend, call him. At least send him something. Send him a card. You know. You know, put some money in it. Put something in it. But just send him something that lets him know that you love him. How grateful you are for that. Come on. Now, flavors of the world. McDonald's has started their flavors of the world. They have that chicken tomato sandwich, which you can get either grilled or crispy. I would always recommend the crispy because crispy is always, always, always better, right, Annie?
Oh, yeah. Crispy is the best.
Yep, you can never go wrong with crispy, ever.
Nope.
And then they have the extreme bacon, Big Mac thing. They have the cheesy bacon fries. They are apparently different from the original cheesy bacon fries that they had at McDonald's months ago. They have that 2.5-hole McFlurry.
Are you going to try it?
Someday, yeah. And then they have, those are the worldwide flavors which are available at McDonald's near you for a limited time. Also time to remind you that Coca-Cola is always the winner. It's always the best soft drink there is. By the way, I didn't hear a rumor. This is actually... true, in my mind. Although, when they have subjected people to the Coke Pepsi challenge, the people preferred Pepsi.
Oh, that's crazy to me.
You've heard? One time in middle school, I was subjected to that. And those paraprofessionals and that teacher, they admitted to me that I chose Pepsi, and they were rubbing it in, even though I said I chose Coke.
I think they were probably telling stories. There's a big difference. The Coke is a lot stronger, and Pepsi's like sweeter.
I had thought for sure that I chose the one that was more fizzy.
You probably did. I bet they were telling stories.
And one time, there was some certain visual questions on a history test. I still took the history test, my seventh-grade class, but they were a couple of visual ones. So it would be funny on my test, knowing she wouldn't grade it. She decided to be funny. On my braille copy, she wrote on, "Which soda did Rivers choose 3 of 3 times? A, Pepsi. B, Pepsi. C, Pepsi. D, neither." You know what I almost wrote down? I almost boiled out. D, Coke. But I answered neither. You know? That's pretty funny, don't you think?
Yeah, that was
pretty funny. I was laughing. I thought it was funny. And then, to blindfold me further than what I can't see, you know, they gave me a few chips in between.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the blindfolding effect. That makes it so you can't tell the difference.
Right.
So that's an extra blindfold, you know?
Yeah.
That makes it a lot. You weren't thinking about that, were you?
No, but it makes sense. They do that for other things, too. Like when you're taking stuff.
And
special crackers that, I don't know what they're called, but they work.
They just gave me some Lay's chips.
And then
oftentimes they will choose the one they thought they liked the least as a result of that test, you know. They do that in a way so that it doesn't give you an advantage, you know, so you can't cheat. Because if you just go from one to the other, it's too easy to cheat, isn't it? Or if we give you something in between, you know, that's why on these multiple choice questions, there'll often be an answer that is rather similar to the right one, you know? Obviously, there'll be one that is very different from the right one, you know. There'll also be one that is very similar to the right one, you know.
Exactly.
Kind of, it'd be like, but obviously there's only Coke and Pepsi. It's not like there's 4 different ones. The biggest one. Otherwise, it would almost be too easy to cheat, wouldn't it? So that I couldn't cheat, they gave me the chips in between. Of which I was to eat one of. And I chose apparently I chose Pepsi 2 out of 3 times.
I think we should do that now and see which one you take.
That'd be crazy on the show, listeners. That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy. Oh, by the way, Miracle Man drank a sip of Pepsi on the show. By the way, Coke does win over everything, including Mountain Dew. And, of course, yes, it wins over Dr. Pepper. By the way, pretty sure if you're listening, Dr. Pepper doesn't win. No.
Never.
No. Nope. Coke.
That's a hard pass.
Coke, Cherry Coke, Vanilla Coke. And that new Coke. I mean, the new orange vanilla Coke, not new. That truly called New Coke. Did you hear about that we launched?
Yeah, and I heard it was really good.
Well, that was made to be a lot like Pepsi. They tried to make it taste like Pepsi back in the 80s. And the Coke was reformulated to that back in 85.
That's a mistake. Why would they do that?
I don't know why. It backfired. They learned, you know, time to go back to the real thing, because they alienated a lot of Southerners. Because they say Coca-Cola is a part of a Southern heritage, and I totally agree.
Yeah, some of them refer to all soda as Coke. Like, hey, give me a Coke.
Pepsi is originally from Carolina, not New York.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I feel like a lot of these sodas in general have a Southern heritage, don't they?
Yeah, what about Coke?
Coca-Cola does, Atlanta.
That's what I figured.
Mountain Dew, even Tennessee. Sierra Mist, I don't know. Sprite, I don't know. Obviously, Faygo came from up here.
Yeah.
But most of the other ones, they're like Dr. Pepper, I think that came from somewhere in Texas originally, didn't it?
I have no clue. I never liked Dr. Pepper.
But I did tell you, listeners, once before that Dr. Pepper was actually a year older than Coca-Cola. Yep, I had said that back around when I first launched it. Futureman had told me, and then I repeated it. Yep, and apparently you had forgotten it. All right, listeners, really quick, I'm going to tell you real quick how you can tell them how to be a part of the show. The number to call in to be a part of the show is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for those prompts. Go ahead and press 1. And you'll be able to call in and give you your 2 cents, whether you want to talk about sports, talk about the Bible, or whether you want to give, maybe you want to give your take on why Pepsi is so much better than Coke. And yes, I won't be like some people who might disrupt you. I'll actually let you give your speech. And then I'll give you my honest opinion after I let you speak. And we'll just try to be civil about it. But in all honesty, folks, I'm hoping we can get some great callers tonight. Now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for so much for this great radio program. I thank you so much for these great listeners who would join us tonight, wherever they may be, however they may be accessing the program. I thank you, Lord God, that these people come with a heart ready to receive, a mind ready to receive what you have for them tonight, that they've come expecting for you to do something in their life and make a change in their life. Or just be well with them. Thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight. And I thank you, Lord God, in your name, Jesus, I claim that finances will come into this program, that increases in listenership will come to this radio program, that partners will come in, Lord God, and most importantly, souls will come into this kingdom, your kingdom, Lord, via this great radio program. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You got your Bible? Turn to Acts 24, please. Woo! Acts 24. We will see what the Lord Jesus has in store for us tonight. And speaking of the clock, I just think of, you know, have you ever heard that thing that says, I fought the law, and the law won. Have you heard of that before? Someone was telling a story about that once. It was so funny. This would be more like I fought the clock and I won. If you fight the clock and the clock wins, that means you ran out of time, doesn't it? Imagine if Pastor did that. If Pastor goes up there at church to start preaching on Thursday night, and then his alarm goes off, that doesn't mean he fought the alarm and won. That means he fought the alarm and the alarm won. Because the alarm went off just as he was. By the way, turn with me to the book. To the book of That'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it? And then I'd be like, is it really 8:20 already? You know, that's what I'd be thinking, don't you? Would be even more funny would be if it was actually 8:30. Okay, Acts 24. Because me talking about that clock is not going to make it go by any slower. If anything, it's just going to make it go by faster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Acts 24. First job. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. Now, this is where Paul faces trial before Felix. Verse 1. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullian. And they brought these charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullian presented his case before Felix. We have enjoyed a long period of peace. And your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way. Most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this of profound gratitude. With profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us speak. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene and even tried to desecrate the temple so that we feed him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges that we are bringing against him. The Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation. So I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago, but I went up to Jerusalem in order to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple. Or, nor was I stirring up a crowd in the synagogue or anywhere else in the city. They cannot prove to you the charges that they are now making against you. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the by the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Well, these who are here should take, should state what crime they found in me as I stood before the Sanhedrin, unless it was this one thing that I started as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and to permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife, Priscilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. But at the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bride. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. we're going to read 25, and then I'm going to talk.
Oh,
all this stuff.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
For chapter 25. 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. They urgently requested Festus as a favor for them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem. And they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Festus answered, "Paul is being heard at Caesarea. I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me and press charges against the man there. If he has done anything wrong." After spending 8 or 10 days with them, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. And Paul appeared. The Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many serious charges against him, which they could not prove. Then Paul made his defense. "I have done nothing wrong against the law of the Jews, or against the temple, or against Caesar. Festus, wishing before the Jews in favor, said to Paul, 'Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges?' Paul answered, 'I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, and you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. If the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar.' After Festus had been conferred with his council, he declared, 'You have appealed to Caesar. Caesar, you will go.'" Verse 13. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. Since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, "There's a man here whom Felix left as a prisoner when I went to Jerusalem. The chief priests and elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. I told them that it was not the Roman custom to hand over anyone before he has faced his accusers and has had an opportunity to defend himself against these charges. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case. I convened the court the next day and ordered the man to be brought in. One of the accusers got up to speak. They did not charge him with any of the crimes that I had expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with them about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus, whom Paul claimed was alive. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters. So I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and to stand trial there on these charges when Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision. I ordered him held until I could send him to Felix. Then Agrippa said to Felix, "I'd like to hear this man myself." He replies, "Tomorrow you'll hear it." Verse 23. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking officers of the leading men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, "King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving his death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think that it is unreasonable to send on a prisoner without specifying the charges against him." I'm going to read the sound of like verse 10, and then I'm going to talk about this verse. Chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." And Paul motioned with his hand, and he began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all of the Jewish customs and controversy. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way that I have lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country, and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time, and they can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. Okay. It is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time, I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to blaspheme. My obsession against them. I even went to foreign citizens to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, okay, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It's hard for you to kick against the goat. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now, get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen of me, and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me."
And then he continues explaining. His cake. And then he just kept pleading. You know? So, what you see, here is that Paul was asked, you know, what happened? And again, just as before, Paul was again told to testify before the court. This time he had to testify to the king. Caesarea. And he had to explain everything. And these people kept trying to press charges. They couldn't come up with them. They couldn't come up with anything that Paul had done. Or in other words, they couldn't come up with anything that Paul had wrongfully done that would have called for him to be put to death. He was considered to be in very good standing. And of course, the accusers, you know, the king was like, and he said, you know, this dead man that Paul claims is alive. Speaking of Jesus, who was alive then, who is still alive to this day, he's still doing miracles in our midst, he's still raising the dead. He is still healing blinded eyes. He is still healing the sick. He is still doing many great signs and wonders on behalf of those who believe and have faith. And when I look at Paul, you know why he faced so much persecution? Because he lived right. And many people loved him. There were also, however, many people who just I want him out of the series. What am I going to do? And you know, kind of like how some people, kind of like how various, how some people hate the preachers of today, the spirit-filled, water-baptized. They want some user-friendly gospel. They just, they think, oh, demeaning, oh, that guy, you need a spirit of control. He hears my feelings. He, you know, but these people, they couldn't come up with something to charge Paul for. When they told him, they said, you know, he could have been free. He didn't try to appeal. I see. He chose to appeal to Caesar anyway. And he was still on guard for his security, because they didn't want him to, want anyone to kill him prematurely. As we all know, though, Paul the Apostle later wrote many of the books in the New Testament after Acts. He wrote a lot of them. And God used them. God spoke through Paul, told Paul what to write. And he was one of the great, turned out to be one of the great apostles. He went from one of the largest persecutors to one of the greatest epistles. Who wrote much of the New Testament. And there's a lot to be learned from that. I'm from Paul's writings. And he just did so many great things for the body of Christ. And God in so many great ways. And I remember it. I told you, God, about that time you preached all those hours. And he just let it out. Paul just let it out. He didn't bother lying. He didn't bother persecuting anymore because he had persecuted so many times before and God. Came to him, talked directly to him, and told him to stop doing what he was doing. God did that. And by the way, it was no accident that he did that. And you know, your Bible says the ones who will be persecuted are those who live godly, those who preach the word, not those who are ungodly. Yeah. These people in Jerusalem, they would be in judgmental because of what they had seen Paul do. Imagine if people did that to Dr. Buckley. If they judged him based on how he behaved in 1966 or 1968 and all the stuff that he did before he met God. You can't judge somebody based on what they did B.C., before Christ. And those people got themselves in big trouble. Those people who were starting to riot against Paul. You know why these people were doing that? Because they were judging Paul based on how he used to be, the old man. Paul testified. They were basically like, we don't care. You persecute me. It's like, in a way, it was like they wanted the miracles, but at the same time, it's almost like they didn't want him to get saved. So, who are you talking to?
That's Crystal's daughter. You know Crystal?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's your daughter over there. Her name's Kiana.
Sorry about that, listeners. But anyhow, listeners, they chose to judge him for how he used to be instead of how he was when he was speaking to them. So, if you see someone who used to not be right with God, maybe they used to be totally anti-God, totally just love everything God hated, and just totally against him. And then now you see him, and they're all repented, they're all living for God, they're just obeying God, being right with God. Don't judge them for how they used to be. These people should have been rejoicing that Paul was changed. But instead they were being judgmental. and feeling. We just should not be so quick to misjudge other people. We shouldn't. Observation is one thing. It could have been, yes, we saw Paul when he was Saul and he was doing all this stuff, but now he's challenging us and giving us the word of God. That's what they should have been doing, but they weren't. Lord God, help us to get this deep in our spirits tonight. Wait a minute. Why did my thing become unplugged? Sorry about that.
There you go.
But Lord God, I just thank you right now that we will get this in our hearts and that we will just live for you with all we have the rest of our heart, for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for sports, Tigers start a new series tonight, and you can listen to it on 104.9 FM or on 97.7 FM here in this area. Now, for the NBA. Oh, by the way, listeners, what is up with me predicting the final games of these series? Back in the Pistons series, I predicted that the Pistons would find a way to win Game 5. They didn't. In the Western Conference Finals, I figured that Golden State opponent would win a game that they didn't win. And then last night, I figured, you know, Golden State might have Kevin Durant back, which, by the way, he's back out. He re-injured his, what's that bone called that he injured?
Achilles.
His Achilles, and what did the MRI say?
I don't know. I haven't looked, but I'm pretty sure it's his Achilles. They originally said it was his calf, but...
Achilles?
Sure, Achilles?
How long does an Achilles normally keep you out?
It's a whole year.
But that's even if it was in November, it would be a season-ending injury?
Yeah, for sure.
So that means he could be... done for life, possibly.
It's a possibility.
Well, but those Achilles injuries are not to be messed with. Maybe that just might have happened to confirm why Draymond Green will never come to Detroit. Even though I desperately want him to.
Maybe.
Because we need someone to rescue us.
Mm-hmm. We really do.
Or maybe it could cause Draymond Green to think twice and decide, hey, I'm going to go back to Detroit. You know, I'm coming home, brother. You know, we can only hope. And who knows, maybe he will. But as for the game last night, the Warriors did win. Toronto tried for a three right as time was expiring. They missed it. They win by literally 1 point. It was a really good game. At one point, Toronto was up by 6 with like 3 minutes to go. Golden State went back to work. I think they might have felt the need to play harder for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, Game 6 is on Thursday in Oakland, so there will be one more game in Oakland after all, before they move to San Fran. And if they win Game 6, we got a series on our hands.
We really do.
I will make that pick tomorrow night based on what I'm – part of it will be based on what they're saying on ESPN and other sources. Other parts of it will be person. And I'd rather there be a game 7 rather than me get it right. But at the same time, not you, because you want them to just finish it.
Yeah, I want it to be done, man. I really want them to win this next game.
You just want them. You just want him to take it and,
yeah,
and to watch JB cry because his team didn't win it.
Exactly.
Because, but anyhow, that was a really good game last night. Those fans were really into it over there in Toronto. I think Golden State's going to be rocking tomorrow on Thursday night. It's just going to be insanely wild. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.